Today's daf is daf Nun Dalet in Masechet Ben Achot, and it's post time. No wonder, Bunny is finally at the start. So, says the Gemara in daf Nun Gimel Amud Beit, and the two dots. We had the closing machloket with the Neir Amaras Seor. Should say not hasor, seor bodela mitochanu mechamtzan, so that you take a little bit of the isaron and you put water in it while it's in there. You let it be mitchameitz, that it becomes strong enough of a sourdough to get the rest of it to be chamutz. And the Rabbi Yehuda says that's not the way to do things. The way to do things is to actually bring some from your home, which is mechumetzet yafeh, and put it in. That way you'll have a well-made mincha. To which the Chachomim replied, if you're going to do that, then you're going to end up with either chasera or yetira. So let's get into the definition of that. When you say chasera or yetira, explain exactly what you mean. My chasera yetira. It depends. If the isat haseor that you're adding to it, which has already clearly been mixed with water, and therefore the volume is going to change from what it initially was. Now it could change in two ways. If you put in a little bit of water and the solet now is compressed, then you're going to have a thick dough. But that means that now there's going to be a hole in the yisron, which you're going to fill up with solet. And that means you're going to have too much solet. So if the zor is ava, then nimtzit yitera midata isaron. Torah said isaron solet, you're bringing more than isaron solet, since some of it was compressed by the water. On the other hand, if you have very loose dough, it's a rakas, so you have too much water, then some of the space is going to be taken up in the isaron by water, essentially. That's not solet. And the Torah insisted on solet. Now, this obviously touches on the very fundamental issue, which can come up in so many different ways, as to what it is that we measure when we have a shear in the Torah. We run into this problem all the time. We're supposed to eat a kezayit of matzah. What does that mean? A kezayit of kemah that goes into the matzah? A kezayit of kemah with water that goes into the matzah? A kezayit of baked matzah, which includes all of the air spaces and swollen holes from steam and so on in the matzah? You have to grind the matzah down, put it back into soda. These are serious questions. Do we look at what's in front of us, or do we look at what it was that we initially brought? Do we look at the mixture of the non-essentials, such as the water? I'm going to say non-essential. I was talking about chita. For God's sake, you can't eat the chita and be yotzi the matzah. You're going to have to make anyway a dough. So then we included the water in the dough. I mean, it's the same question as over here. You're making an assumption. The Torah said yisaron solet. You're telling me that I need to make that in cases of in cases of the shtei alechem. I have to make it chometz. If I have to make it chometz, then I can't leave it as solet. That's obvious. It's got to be mixed with water. So am I looking, therefore, at the yisaron solet as it is now, mixed with the water, partially mixed with the water, completely mixed with the water, or do I need to just make an yisaron solet, take out some, put it into the water, then bring it back in? I mean, why are we making the assumption that it's going to be chasira yitera? Ask the Gemara this question. Who cares? Sof. I mean, it's all very nice to say what would have been had it been entirely made of solet, but it cannot be made entirely of solet. So in any event, you're going to need to mix it with water. So now who cares what the solet would have been right now? Just fill it up. You're going to have that proportion, a small amount, whatever it is that you're going to take. You're going to take out of it. You're going to make it. You're going to bring it from the home. You're going to put it in. You're going to now add to it. Now you're talking about what would have been if I would have had precisely the same volume of the little bit that I brought from now. What do I care if you would have had the precise volume? As you measure it now, kikai elisaron kikai, are you measuring an isaron or not? Did the isaron require chimutz? Does it have in it for chimutz flour that is mixed with water? Then that's what the Torah wants you to measure, right? So that's the isaron. I don't understand what the taina is, that it should be yitera or chatzera. Who cares about this? It is clear that the assumption here throughout the Mishnah is that lekemot shehin haita misharina. That apparently, at least what the Rabbanan are saying, is that you need always to measure according to what it would have been in its pristine condition. If it's solet, then it's solet. And now any changes that are made, those have to be made after we have the actual volume taken. And we don't look at it as to what it is now. Now, this, of course, is going to open up a whole Pandora's box of related issues in which it's not at all clear that that's the halacha. I mean, this can come up not only in dinim of achila. This comes up in questions of dehydration, let's say, of shiurim. I mean, imagine what this would be, Nogia. You have a shear of something that was a kezayit. Maybe it was a piece of chalev or iser. It became dehydrated. Now it's not a kezayit. It was a kezayit. I mean, you weren't going to be chayev on the water content, were you? So now if I add water back to it again, it becomes rehydrated. Now it is a kezayit. So now am I chayev? Am I chayev on the water part that I added? How can I be chayev on something that was completely plain old-fashioned water? I even had a batat sechur on it, the water. So how did that water become part of the kezayit of nevela that I'm eating? Now, how about Lagabe Dinim of Tumah V'Tayra? Or how about Lagabe Dinim of Shiurin, where I'm taking off Trumot and Basrot? Can I utilize raisins to take off Truma on grapes? Would I have to rehydrate the raisins? Would I have to be Mishaer? How big were these raisins when they were grapes? Or can I say, no, I can only take off what it is now? You understand that this is Nogea just about every element of taking a shiur in the Torah, in any sugya at all. And you're like casually throwing out, is it a chaser or a yeter? Whoa. So the Mishnah that is tining on Rebbe Yehuda apparently holds that the Yisaron needed to be the Yisaron as it would have been. But, I mean, even if that's true, says the Gemara, what's the big deal? Why can't we take an Yisaron? I mean, even where the mayor is saying, well, make a little bit of it wet afterwards. Let it sit there inside of it. I mean, that's not the way to make sourdough. You have to put it in a warm place. You let her, you put it with other, around other dough that already has serious yeast infections. And you let it sit there and blow up. I mean, you just sit there and let it, and hope that it's going to actually be the correct amount of yeast that's going to be able to make it good and sour. Now, and if you're going to do it right. So all you need to do, both according to Rabbi Yehuda and according to the Rabbanan, if you're all hung up about the solet problem, okay, so even according to the Rabbanan, first take solet, take a little bit out, mix it with water, put it on next to your warm oven or next to other dough so that it will be infected with the same yeast, and then put it back in. And then you'll know that you have the amount that you had the katila. Couldn't you do that? I mean, are you going to say that it needs to be what it was before? But now if it's any different, now it's not going to be kosher because it neither is the Yisaron as it was, because it doesn't measure, nor can I fill it up because then it's going to be yeter or chaser. I mean, is that what you're going to say? So then all we need to do is, lishko porta mina, take a little bit out. Lich metzor me'avroi, let's make it really good sourdough outside next to the oven. And then late evening lushaba, they bring it back, and now mix the whole thing with water, with the original solid. Then you know for sure you have exactly the amount of solid you needed to have, and everything should be great, and you're doing it correctly. I mean, you're making high quality baked good. Whereas the way you're going to be doing it, it's going to be very poor quality. Says Gemara, it's not that there is a problem with that. The truth is, that's an excellent solution, except for the fact that people, as usual, are stupid. And if you let them do that, so then we have Xera Demati Latuyimi Alma. I mean, people will see you bringing in sourdough and adding it into the minhag. So they'll say, so apparently you can bring in dough. So they'll bring it from the outside. Which wouldn't be good according to Rabbanan, because that would be doing with what Rabbi Yehuda did. And even according to Rabbi Yehuda, maybe they'll bring in something from the outside that hadn't been measured at all, wasn't included in the solid. Here you measured the whole solid originally. Now you took some out. Now they're going to go and they're going to bring something which is an entirely different measurement, put it in, not even measure it again. So no matter how you look at it, you can't rely on this approach. Now this is one shot in Rashi, the most reasonable, simple pshat. That's the way we'll learn. Rashi offers another pshat, which is really a complicated reading of the Gemara Sotos Tosfos. But this is a nice, simple, straightforward, and makes the most sense to Tanarabba. In machmitzim betapuchim, you cannot use apple juice, let's say. Even though fruit juice is out, you'll note that when it comes to Pesach, the question of whether may perot or machmitzim or not, it's a major question. There's some more machmir, not to eat eggman, as they say. things in which you know that no water has ever entered into the dough. All you did was grind up an apple or something and put some of it in, or crack an egg, put some of the egg in, whatever. And there was no water available, oil for that matter. Is that considered to be chametz or not? Many people are mekel on that. So here it says you can't use fruit or fruit juice to be machmitz the isa for the shtelah or for the lechem chametz of the carbon tummy, carbon titus. Mishum Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel amru, you can machmitzim. So in other words, according to him, that would be properly formed chametz for the type, the one out of four type, which is chametz of the todah or of the shtelah. Now, Rav Kahana didn't have that in the name of Rav Chanina ben Gamliel. He had that quoted to him, Matila, and the Braita, according to Rabbi Chanina ben Tarabia. Okay, but in any event, Kaman Hazot, it's none. We do have a Mishnah in Trumot where there's a problem of a Truma Tapuach, which was all risuk, how do you say in English? Grated. A grated apple of Truma, and you put it into an Isav Chulin. And now it was mechametz the Isav Chulin. Now normally, of course, I mean, we have a very, very small amount of material that would be needed to be mechametz. Normally you would only aser Truma in Chulin in a 1 to 100 proportion. Problem is that if you create chimutz, then you get into the gelatin problem, ma'amid and mechametz, things which are small proportions that have major effect. So a small proportion has major effect. We have a Rabbon and Gezerah, they're not bottle because the impact of that effect is noted. Therefore, you can't call that bittle because it's clear that this is bechumatz. If this is bechumatz, then I have to take into consideration the leavening agent, which was in this case truma. Therefore, will be usher. Now, I raise the asura. But if you hold that you cannot use the tapuchim to make the toda or the shtelechem, so then this should follow. We just say, but this is not considered to be mechumatz. So shall we say, says the Gemara, come on, shall we say that this is dafka, according to the shita of Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, or Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, however you had it in the Braita, but it certainly wouldn't be going a libet rabbanon holds you cannot use me tapuchim or a tapuach shirisko. Not necessarily at all, because afilu tamer rabbanan. Remember, the din of nikar in the dough is not necessarily dependent on the classical definition of chibutz. In other words, what might be called chometz in terms of a chiyuv on Pesach, or what would be called proper chimutz for a mincha, is not the equivalent of the nikar effect in terms of bittul of iser. So you're comparing two different things. This may be not properly mechumatz, but surely you're not going to tell me it doesn't have any impact. It has a physical impact. So that physical impact could be the equivalent of chometz nuksha. Chometz nuksha means a low-quality chometz, a hardened chometz, different pirushim, and Rashi always learns it means. It means tough, meaning not really useful, chimutz. Tosfos is makshe from this. It says it's going only according to one man, Diomar. L'maisa, those who hold it's not chometz at all, Agabi Pesach. We're calling it a chometz nuksha, which Rabina would be also according to anybody on Pesach, which is not so important, obviously. All right, but that assumes it's going according to man, Diomar. But again, it isn't even necessary to say that, because the terms may be borrowed. In other words, we know that Lagabi Pesach were mechalek between chometz and chometz nukshe. We have chometz gamur, chometz nukshe. So certainly, Benogea, this question of the gzer d'rabbana, that things that make an impact which is recognizable, that impact is just as much an impact of emulsification as it would be a leavening agent, you see. So you don't want to call it a leavener, so call it an emulsifier. But the point is, it's nicker. That's what we're saying. It's a type of hacker. I need to stress to you every type of hacker. So it's a type of leavening. So therefore, I feel it's Tamer Rabbanan. Let's say, you don't want to call it Chometz Gomer. It's not kosher for the Shtei Alecha. You don't want to call it Chometz Gomer. You're not going to be Chayim on Pesach. So call it Chometz Nuksha. So Nuksha Miahave. And that's all that's important. Therefore, Legabi, that sugya, this doesn't really have anything to do with it. Omer Abilah, you know, if you think about the impact of how it is that you make the menachot, and I'm sure you've all been worried about the fact that the Torah never said to add water to the mincha. It only talked about how much oil and how much solid. That's really weird. I mean, we're being told to make something chometz. You're telling me I can't use mei perot to make it chometz. So by definition, I'm mixing it with water. This is the whole question that we spoke of before. So why can't we take the water into the shiur? But I mean, it's even worse than that. Because let's say the Torah says, don't use oil. For instance, on a minchat chotei, right? So does that necessarily mean, and don't use oil, water either? Or can I use water? No, maybe I keep it as solid. If I make dry, the Torah calls it dry. It says chariva. Maybe dry all the way. Turtles all the way down. So it may well be that maybe these things are interrelated. That means you're telling me that meperot doesn't make real chametz. So we add water. How about if you're not supposed to have meperot at all? So maybe we don't add water. Because, I mean, now it's very unclear. Where will this make a tremendous difference would be in doing the kmitza. So if I've got a doughy kind of thing, then kmitza is understandable. Because kmitza, remember, has to be precisely the amount of solid that's going to be held by my three fingers that are spread out over my palm. And I need to use my thumb and my little finger to make certain that there's nothing that's sticking out from the side, or that is being removed more than it should be from the side. Because what's between is part of the shear of the comet. Now, the problem is when I'm dealing with something dry, I mean, if I do one way or the other, I'm going to mess it up. I'm going to pull out a little bit extra. If you're dealing with something that's doughy, so then you can get it exactly at the edge. But here, if I'm talking about a minchat chotei, and I believe that I'm not allowed to mix that with water at all, so then I have a really difficult time, because some of the solid is very fine flour. If I'm rubbing the edge of my other finger, some of the flour is going to come out. How am I ever going to get it exactly at the edge? So here we find that Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avadim, he says that a minchat chotei, The Rabbi Loha says that the minchat chotei is very difficult to do a proper kmitza. In the kosher kmitza, yoter minchat chotei. You have to practice a lot to get precisely the amount of pressure from your thumb and little finger till you have exactly what's between the finger and the palm remaining inside and anything else coming off. And no powder that is yet. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avadim says, well, what's the problem? You put water in it, silly. You put water in it, and it's very easy. So minchat chotei megabla b'mayim, and then it would be kosher. So now the question is, what is the basis of this machloket? Is it a direct dependency on the fact that there's no shemen? And we understand that shemen opens the doorway to liquid, and therefore we're going to put in water, since already we're putting in shemen, or we're just incidentally putting in water, because the Torah says that you're supposed to handle in a particular ways, and in order to handle it, it makes sense to put in water. Is that all it is?
But if it's not allowed to be chametz, then you have to put the water in.
Then you have to be shamer it. We said before. You weren't here. You listened to diddly, 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 diddly. Obviously, they don't explain anything properly over there. So is the machloket, perhaps, the good old machloket that we just brought up, which is, does changing the proportion with the water when it's not mandated mess up the mincha? I mean, because that's what the Rabbanim were telling to Rabbi Yehuda. You're saying, Rabbi Yehuda, the Torah says it's supposed to be good in chometz. How do you make a good in chometz if you don't have sourdough? So bring sourdough and put it into the isar, and then who cares about the proportion, the relative proportion of the water to the solid in the sourdough element, and how that's supposed to, whatever it is, that's what it is. That's what you got to process it with. So apparently one Madyama over here is saying, look, how are you going to process the Mirchas Chayte? With water. I mean, otherwise it's crazy. How are you going to get an exact comment? It makes sense to put in water. And anyway, the Torah never says to put in water. We're always putting in water. So why can't we put in water? Whereas the other Mandiyama would say, no, if you put in water, you change the proportion. And the kometz has to be the same kometz that it would have been had it been the solus that the Torah insisted it be. So that's not only a problem in the initial isaron that you're measuring in an actual isaron, but even something that isn't measured, the kometz, in which everybody's kometz is different, is a specific measurement. Your kometz. What would your kometz have held in flour had there not been water? So how can you put in water? Because now, how do you know it's exactly the same amount? You have to maintain precisely that volume. I'm going to be able to maintain precisely that volume. So maybe this machlokas over here between Rabbi Loha and Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avadimi is exactly the machlokas that we had here in the Mishnah. Is there a problem of cheser yeter by adding water? Is there not? So lema balkam iflugin, amar sava kimot shehen misha'arina, umar sava likimot shayu misha'arina. Do we look at what you've got now? This is what you've got. You've got water mixed in with your mincha, that's how it's processed. So a kometz of that is precisely what you need to take. Whereas the other man, the Omar, says, no, you have to take precisely a kometz of what was, not what is now. And how are you going to be able to do that if now you've changed the proportions by adding water, you change the volume? So in other words, you are changing the proportion of mass to volume. You'll never be able to construct that properly. Says Imaru, not necessarily. I mean, I can't say that that would not have implications for this sugya, but I mean, it's very possible that everybody agrees that there's no need to worry about what would have been had there not been water. The question is whether the Torah allows you to put in water. That's a different issue. It could be that Kulei Alma agree k'mot shehein misharinan. Look entirely at what it is now. Ubahaka miflege. Mar savar. One man the Omar holds. Now, what is the meaning of the word chareva? It's interesting that the Torah contrasts ko mincha blula vashemen with a mincha chareva. So you could say, contextually, what we mean is dry in terms of shemen. There's the mincha with shemen, and there's the chareva without shemen. Or it may actually be hinting that there are menachot that have liquid content, which once we open up the shemen, we agree, put in water. But we have other menachot that are meant to be dry, literally, chareva. Not chareva relative in terms only of the oil, but chareva literally dry. That's a way of understanding the meaning of that word. So my chareva. So one man the owner holds, chareva means contextually, chareva mishemen. But if, what's the problem, says Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avadimi, with putting in water? Whereas Rabbi Loa, mar savar, chareva means exactly what it says. It's objectively chareva, and therefore the Torah is not allowing you to put in water mikol davar. It's not hatam. Now that we've opened up the door to this, moving on to other Mishnayot that have to do with Tumah V'Tahara, this being an Uktzin, how about swelling through hydration or rotting even bacteria? Or how about dehydration, sitting in the sun? So let's say you have Bisar Ha'egel, She'nitpach. Now, Bisar Ha'egel, young animal meat, generally has the tendency to swell the meat when it's left, whereas Bisar Zekena usually has a tendency to lose whatever is making it the shear in volume, loses volume. So suppose you have a case, Megabi Tumah V'Tahara, where you need a shear of a kibetza, and you have Basar HaEgel which swelled, or you have Basar of an older animal, Zekena, which lost some of its volume, Shinit Ma'er. How do you determine whether it can be Megabi Tumah or not? Mishta'arin l'kemot shehin. So the Tanakhama says, look, whatever's in front of you, that's what you got, man. Rav, Rabbi Chia, and Rabbi Yochanan and Amri, mishta'arin k'mot shehin. Shmuel, Rabbi Shimon Barabi, and Resh Lakish Amri, mishta'arin l'kemot shehayu. When we say the word k'mot shehin, we mean what they once were. So that's the question, not what they are. So the question is how to read that Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Mishtarin kamot shein, meaning likamot shein, and this is the way we're going to, without the change in the gears of the Bach, kamot shein is a direct translation of the word of the Mishnah with a lamed added. Likamot shein, to what they are, meaning to what they were. And if we're going to have to change any words in the Mishnah, kimochein would mean the way they are now. And that's the way that later on we're going to use the word. So even though we can clarify it by saying lekimocha hayu, the real meaning in the Mishnah is not to change it to hayu, but rather to say to, meaning to in the past, or as in the present. Ke or leke. That's the main difference. So again, here the question is, do we look at a shear as it was before we witness the changes in it? Okay, so now let's take a look and see whether both of these approaches are supportable in the Mishnah. Meitzvah. It says b'feirush that basar ha'egel shelo haya bo kishiyur v'tafach v'amad al kishiyur. If you have young meat that generally will swell, and initially you know for a fact, you cut off a piece of meat that was less than the shiur, now it swells, now it has a shiur, and now you want to know, is it tahor or is it tameh? So the din is tahar l'sha'avar. Look, anything that touched it before it swelled, so then it didn't have a shear of kibetzah, so then it was tahar. But anything which touches it mikan alava would be tameh, because this could be mekabel tuma from this point on, or it itself would not be mekabel tuma before. So it was tahar l'sha'avar, and if you touched it, it's the whole question as to whether it itself to be makabel tuma needs the shear, or to pass on tuma needs the shear, being machlokas Rashi does. But it doesn't really matter. One way or the other, either it can be makabel tuma itself, only from this point forward. But anyway, look, it says beferish over here, that definitely from this point forward, it is going to be able to be metame. Now, how in the world could you say that you always look, as Reish Lakish and Shmuel said, you look at what it was before. If you look at what it was before, then you're disagreeing over here with the Braita. Now, Lamaisa, you could say that, isn't there an obvious solution that you can't ask a tiyufta on somebody? Where we know that there was a machloket in the Mishnah. We had a machloket between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, Lagabi the Saron, as far as whether we follow according to what was supposed to be initially or the way it is now. So Tosis is bothered by this, and Tosis explains that it isn't necessarily going to follow from what we said before. Because over there, says Tosfos, Rabbi Meir is being medayik from the fact that the Torah keeps saying Yisaron Solet, as opposed to Yisaron Isa. And that's the question. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, Solet and Isa is Ravdatska, because in Yisaron of Solet in an Isa is also called Yisaron Solet. And so in general, I mean, we need to also consider the relationship of, if this machloket is a machloket that is, which Tosfos is saying, unique to the question of whether we need Yisaron Solet, minogea, the reality of things that are, let's say, the shir of achilat matzah, or when do you make birkat amazon on a kesayit of eating bread? Do we include the airspace? Is that considered to be tvicha, or is that considered to be the norm? I mean, the pashtut is that certainly the mashma'ut from the Mishnah, which we have in Uketzin, where it says, pat savgunit is kamot shehi. Only im yesh b'chalal, memayit et chalala. So in other words, if you have pot, which is like a sfog, it's spongy, which is normal challah bread, white bread, is the way that it is in front of us. As we include the swollen area that has the air space in it, we're not going to compress it, so that even though the normal, the klal is, as the Rambam puts it in the Pirush HaMishnayot, that all shiurim are shiurim of volume. We don't care exactly to compress it any further. We don't care if it's open, in other words, if it's not, if it's expanded, not for anything, not lagabi tuma, not lagabi yisr v'heter. So then we, l'chora, should just take things as they are. And when it comes to matzah, we certainly don't have to imagine what the matzah would be if it was ground up. That would be the way you would think, and in fact, there are many poskim and paskim that way. Even though there is a famous tshuva by the Zerayemet, which therefore the Sfarnim are really machri. Take a look at the Sfarnim books. They grind up the matzah. They're mishayrit according, not according to the double shear that the Ashkenazim do, but according to the lesser shear. But nonetheless, they don't include the airspace. The pashtut is, according to most of the poskim, that bread is bread. Matzah is matzah, whatever it is, except for a halal, which is a swollen area. So some point out, we don't even know exactly what do you mean a swollen area versus bread is bread. Okay, whatever that may be. But there's also an interesting sheet of the Chazon Ish who holds that Mishnah is actually derabbanan to include the airspaces in Lachem Sfogit. But if you're going to talk about a diuraita, maybe you do have to take a look at the volume, the pure volume of the thing. In any event, legabi most halachas, we can rely that a gezayit of bread is a volume measurement, that's for sure. It's a volume measurement, and it's a volume measurement that is defined by the standard way that it is now in front of us. The cases that we have in the Gemara that we've been discussing are cases where you bedafka went out to dry something out where it was an unusual, it was either rotting, was exposed to the rain. But in normal circumstances, the way something is, that is the way that we should be mishayer it. By the way, just to point out, there is one particular place where we do take into consideration not the volume, but we actually consider the weight of something that is normally a volume measurement. Actually, two places, and that would be Lagabi the shear of Reishit Hagez, where there the Torah does, we talk about a shear that relates to its weight, and the din of Ben Zeromor, which relates to the weight of the meat that he eats to be Machayev. You're disagreeing over here with the Braita. No, I'm not. I'm talking about the Oraita. This is talking about the Rabbanan. It's a Chumrah. I mean, the Rabbanan said, measure what you got in front of you now. If, in fact, it is currently the shear of a Gezayit, a Kebetza, where you need a shear of a Kebetza, then treat it as a Kebetza. So, Gabi Tuma, you got a Kebetza now. Fine, it's a Makabal Tuma. You happen to know that it wasn't a Kebetza. Okay, so that if that's the case, but the Oraita won't. I was talking about the Oraita, the Zigzera. Come on. Keep reading. I love it the way you stop at just the right place. Keep reading. What does it say? It says, quote, V'chein bepigol, v'chein benotar. V'chein bepigol or notar is nogei achiyav chatat, right? I mean, what else is nogei, pigol or notar? I mean, what's that coming to tell me? That if you ate a kezayit of pigol or notar, which is only a kezayit now, but wasn't a kezayit at the time that it became pigol v'notar, so it swelled the meat? Yeah. You're going to bring a korban chatas if you do it b'shogeg. On a drabonon? What are we saying? So yamet b'shlamat d'oraita. If you're going to tell me, this is not a chumra drabonon when we said we look at it as it is now. It's a d'oraita. So now you can say, okay, so it's a gear, pigol v'notar, you bring a korban. Obviously, because you ate something which has a shear of a d'oraita. But if you're going to tell me, if you're going to tell me that it's only Drabonon, how does it affect Pigo Benotar? See, I'm with Drabonon. Pigo Benotar, Drabonon. I mean, what does that mean? Miika, there's no such thing. No, this doesn't mean eating Pigo Benotar. This means the Tuma, that the Drabonon were Gozer on Pigo Benotar. And that we spoke about, they were Gozer Tuma in order to prevent, to make the Karni Morzoi here on Pigo Benotar, because it involves now wrecking everything around it and so on. So, okay, so the Rabbanan having been Gozer, a Tuma, on Pigo, and a Tuma on Notar, this din, that the Rabbanan are Machmir, to say if you now have a Kebetza, it's as if you always had a Kebetza, or in this case a Kezayin. That applies even to the Tuma of Notar and Tuma of Pigo. Why would I have thought it didn't? Very simple. Because Sagadat Ramina, look, since the whole din of Tumat Pigol and Tumat Notar is only Rabbanan anyway, and this din you're claiming, Shmuel and Rish Lakish, you're claiming that this din itself is only a Chumra de Rabbanan to look at the current Shiur, so when are we going to apply a Rabbanan to a Rabbanan? The whole Tum itself is a Rabbanan. So maybe in that case, the Rabbanan would not be Machmir to say that this should be Matami bin Rabbanan, because it doesn't really have a Gezayit. So Kulei Hai bin Rabbanan, Lo Avod Rabbanan. I would have said that maybe they wouldn't apply this Gezerah to the din of Tumas Pigo Komash Malan. That look, it's an across-the-board modality of measurement. And we're not going to say, you can measure it for this, but you measure it differently for that. We're not going to say. See, even though it's a Drabbanan and a Drabbanan, the Chiddush is that that doesn't change anything. If the Drabbanan were Gozer, that Shiurim should be measured L'chumra, of course, only L'chumra, for what it is that they are currently, even though we claim, say Rish Lakish and Rish Barebi and Shmuel, we claim that Midyaraita, that wouldn't be the case. But even though the Tuma itself is only the Rabbanan continued to view it in that fashion as if it currently has the correct shear. Toshma. All right, let's see whether, again, we could continue to support both of these shitot. Basar zekenasha ayabo kishiur. Start in the other direction over here. Now that, of course, we understand where we're going. We're starting the other direction. We're going to be getting into kulas. I mean, you can tell me the rabbanon can be machmer, but you can't tell me the rabbanon can be menkel. So suppose you start off with a shir, and now it's tzamak lepachot mikishiur. Now it's gone downhill, and it's less than the shiur. So here it says the din is, when it had the shiur, it was tameh, but from this point on, it's tahar. Ha-ha! Now you got real problems, because you can't tell me that the Rabbanan were makel to take away the tumah, which according to you is supposedly a midoraita tumah, that we look at it the way that it is now. And this is the way that Rav, Reb Chiya, and Reb Yochanan were claiming. You look at the way it is now, and here we're saying we don't. We're going to be able to do that. We're going to be make even the Rabbana, even the, I mean, the Raita. Omar Rabba, well, there's a little bit of a complication here, gentlemen. The complication is this. Is there not a difference between what was, what wasn't, and what is, and a case where what wasn't is? I mean, because there's certainly going to be cases of dehydration and rehydration versus cases of what was becoming dehydrated or what was becoming swollen. Now, obviously, we get into a whole different issue where we started off with a real shear, lost the shear, let's say, through some dehydration. It rains, and now it's the correct shear again. Then you get into a question, which is similar to the idea of dihui that we had, right? We had to deal about dichoy when it comes to hegdish. Something was roy for the mizbeach, then was nidche from the mizbeach, now becomes roy for the mizbeach again. That's a whole sugya called nira, the nidche becomes possible. For kachim, we learned that out. Big question, does it have to first be nira, then nidche? Can it be nidche even lechatchila? Whatever. But there clearly is a concept of a continued state. So by kachim, something has to be able to maintain its state from beginning to end. If there was a time in which the status changed, then the changed status is never really going to get put back to the way it was. Now the question is, would that be true in terms of measurement for Isser? Now that's a whole different question. We're not talking about, do we look at what it is, or do we look at what it was? Here, what it was and what it is may both be the same. The question is, what about the interim period? That's the issue. So you haven't even discussed that, said Rabba. You're all jumping to conclusions. Now, I say we need to polish the understanding of the machloket here. It's much more subtle than everybody's been assuming. I would say like this, that kol hechadami korahavi, look, in cases where you initially had a shear, okay, and now you don't have a shear. Nobody argues about that. You don't have it, you don't have it. That's for sure. You guys thought that was the machlokas? That's not the machlokas. I mean, bottom line, look at what's in front of you. Aletpe, okay? There's no shear over here. So let's not start talking about that case. Both groups over here, whether it's Rabbi Yochanan's group or Reish Lakish's group, you want to refer to it by the latest members of the machloket here. Both Rabbi Yochanan's group and Reish Lakish's group would never have said that we're going to be matame something diorita when it doesn't have a shear. Let pay, that's it. On the other hand, if it initially had mikara, it initially did not have a shear. Now it does have a shear, which is what we were trying to bring a raya before. Basar ha'egel, shelo hayabo kishiur. Then you said it was tafach v'amar al kishiur. Okay, there we had what we answered as, that's the Rabbanan, that's a Chumra. And that the Rabbanan was a Rabbanan, that was a Chumra, legabe pigol v'noiser. We said that means legabe tumat pigol, tumat not. That's also fine. That is also the Rabbanan, and that is not where we have a machloket. The whole machloket over here is where you had the shear, and then you lost the shear, and now you have the shear again. That's the question. So ki plige kigon shayabo kishiur. Then it was tsama, so it became now dehydrated. And then it was chazar v'tafach, it swelled again. Now it's back at the shear. Okay, this is our machlok. So mar sovar yesh dichui b'isuri, umar sovar ein dichui b'isura. The question is a different question. Do we say that the fact that it lost its shear, even though now it got it back, what it got back is not what was. What it got back was badat's water. Now the badat's water suddenly become usur, or suddenly become tameh. Therefore, what you have over here is something new, something different. What was is not here, and memela, it's nidcha, and we're never going to have that shear. It will never be a chiyuv d'oraita again. Where, yeah, sure, it's not going to be any different than the Rabbanan in the case where you didn't have it at all. Obviously, the Rabbanan are going to be machmir. But we're talking about a d'oraita it's not going to be a deraita. Whereas mar sabar ain't dicha b'yisura. And in this case, you start off with a deraita and you end up with a deraita. And the fact that you didn't have an ishur in the middle is irrelevant to me. So therefore, when we're talking about the botzer egel shen nitpach, we're talking about that it was nitpach to be back what it was. When we said the basar zakenah, this part is a little tricky. Because when we said the basar of the zakenah shenitma'ech, over there we're referring to the middle stage. It's a little bit of a, because otherwise we're not answering anything. So we're talking about, it was nitma'ech before getting back to where it was. So it was nitma'ech from the current shir. Okay, so that's the question. Do we say it was nitche? Even though we're all agreed during that period, you wouldn't have been chayav. So Rabbi Shimon and Reish Lakish, in other words, the second group holds, yesh dichui b'yisurin. Once it was no longer a shir, it'll never become tamei b'diraita again. It'll only be like the case before. It'll become tamei b'rabbanan. As if it once had, it didn't have the shir, now it got the shir. Because that middle stage, it didn't have the shir. And the other group holds, there's no such thing as dichui b'yisurin. Says, even if you learn that that's the machloket, it doesn't work. Because you can't disagree with a Mishnah, and the Mishnah makes it very clear there is no such concept as dichui b'yisurin. It actually speaks specifically about a case of dehydration and rehydration. And here's the Mishnah. Vatnan. And this is a Mishnah again, Bergetum of Atiris in Mesechet Taharot. You start off with the kebetza of Ochlim that is going to be able to be makabel and pass tuma. And you leave it in the sun. Shinicha b'chama. It's left in the sun and it becomes dehydrated. Vinitma'atu. Or you have a kezayat min amet, which is itself a metame, or a kezayat of an avela, or a ka'adasha, which is a shear of tumat sheretz, or a kezayat of pigol, a kezayat of notar, a kezayat of chelev. Now, in all of these cases, Tohorin, the Tohorin part is going on the mate, the veil of a sheretz, the rest is going on, the rest would be Yisra Achila. These things, if they dehydrated their Tahar, these things which are Usur, if they dehydrated Ein Chayoven Aleim, but that's of course the Pigol, the Notar, the Chaleb, you do not have a shear at this point. We cannot be Machai of somebody for eating something that once was a shear, where it's not a shear. He didn't need a kezayit. We cannot be metame somebody, but you're right at least, cannot be metame somebody who touches something that doesn't have a shear tuma. What, who cares what it was? Ah, now suppose you left it outside overnight and it rained. And now in nichan b'gishamim and now tofchu. So now they once again became rehydrated and now you do have the shear. So then the din would be, those things which were previously tahar are now tamei. Those things you were previously said your potter on, you would be chayev on. Now this chayev is dioraita. You'd be chayev mishum pigel notar v'chela. Forget it, baby. You're right. It's a tiyufta. L'man yomar yesh dichu b'yisur tiyufta. This is an absolute checkmate. I mean, there's no way to change the ideas over here because we're talking about the dioraitas. So if you're talking about the chiyuv, then it's a chiyuv. There's nothing to do about this. Okay, so getting back to the discussion, let's say we get back to our original way of looking at this. Tashma, when it comes to trumot u'masrot, so there you have what appears to be an issue of volume. You don't have an issue of numbers. So we can assume, generally speaking, that when we're dealing with the same number of fruit in a large group of fruit. Let's say if I have 100 dates, so then there's an average volume to the dates. So if I'll take out 10 out of the 100 dates, I have a right to assume that I took off maaser, right? But how about if some of those dates were now dry dates? Or the case that we have here is figs. So it says here that that's not a problem. The Braita says, tormim te'inim ala grogrot b'minyan. You can use fresh figs to take off the masrot, which we assume is masrot, on dried figs with the counting, the numbers. Take out 10 for 90, let's say. And that's perfectly okay. Now, explain to me how that's perfectly okay. I mean, because if you tell me, Yamit Bishlema, Likimot Chain, you see, here again, the Bach changes the gears. But the Lamed, if we understand that the Lamed is central, Likimot Chain always means Likimot Shayu. We don't need to change any gears. So if you're going to tell me, Likimot Chain Misharinan, look, the dried figs were once fully figged. So the fact that I took out the water from them is irrelevant. I am taking out now from the fresh figs on the dry figs is the same amount. But if you're going to say that we always look at what's in front of us now, you cannot be allowed to take fresh figs, which are going to be double the volume, let's say, for the same number of dried figs, because then you're being marbe b'masrot. And v'tanya, the din on masrot is, if you give too much maaser, maaser has to be exactly a tenth. If you give too much maaser, then the thing that you took the maaser on is certainly okay. I mean, because you took 10 when you should have taken 5, let's say. Okay, fine, but you did take the 5. So the peirot are fine, but the maaser is bad news. Because now what you did is you added tevel to the maaser, and you're never going to take off the maaser from the tevel, because the extra 5 weren't maaser. So where'd you take off the maaser for those? You're going to have to take off the maaser for those. Now the levy that you gave the maaser to is not going to be able to eat any of this maaser. I don't understand. So what do you intend to prove? You intend to prove that it must be that we go according to what it was before. So now it does make sense. Let's try it your way, okay? Elamai. Lekamot Shehen. It's the same as Seifa. So now how do you understand the rest of the writer? In the other case of Grogrot ala Teinim, you're taking out dried figs on fresh figs. Then you go according to the volume. Bemida. Now, how does that make sense according to what you're saying? I mean, I can say just the opposite. Because Iyamit Bishlama Kimochein, you look at the way it is now. So we're taking out the volume of 10 to the volume of 90. So then shop here. But if you're going to tell me Iyamit Likimochein, the way that it was, so then you've got a lot of virtual volume over here. Then you're being Marbe B'masrot. So it's not going to work out in either direction. The first part doesn't work out, but the second part doesn't work out. What this means is, basically, that there is no answer. There's no possible consistent way of learning this. There's only one way out, but it doesn't matter. But that's impossible if we're talking about maaser. Yeah, but nobody ever said we're talking about maaser. We were talking about truma. If we're talking about truma, then all that it's telling you is, who cares? Because truma, there's no iser being marbe, but truma, the Torah never gave a shir in truma. So therefore, what we're going to have to say is that we're talking about truma, haka b'truma gedola askina, and basically, they could both, but depending on how you learn it, you're talking about taking off truma ba'ayin yafa. That's all. So ba'ayin yafa, since the Torah didn't give us a shir, the Rabbanan said, okay, echad mi'arboim, you've got one shir, that's being very generous, called an ayin yafa. If you're very ungenerous, then you'll take off one out of 60. Okay? If you're just a regular kind of guy, so you'll take out one out of 50. So therefore, we're saying over here is simply, you know, you want to be generous about it. So then, you know, you could take off even the current grogrot, you take off with the dubra. Obviously, you're giving more. It's very generous, very nice of you. That's all that we're saying. So then, if you're telling me that, how do you understand the continuation? Well, Rabbi Yossi says that my father, Rabbi Yossi, Abba Ayanotel, read these numbers, please. Eser grogrot shebe miktoa. He would take 10 dried dates here on figs here on out of the miktoa. Now the miktoa was sometimes used as the sharp cleat that cuts it out of the container in which it's pressed, or it is just a reference to the press. Sometimes Rashi says one, sometimes says the other. But the point is, he would cut off 10 on 90 that were in the kalkala, which means that these were fresh figs. Now, I forget about kamot shehino. I'm just saying a relationship of 10 figs to 90 is not truma. There's no possible way to understand that's truma. This is a continuation of the same brayta. 10 to 90 is 10 out of 100. That adds up to meiser, to me. So I don't see how, now we're really in trouble. Because for all intents and purposes, the brayta announced we're talking about maaser. And then it contradicts itself by saying in one place you go according to the kibosh ha'ed, and according to the other one says you go according to kibosh ha'ed. So there's some serious problem here. So Eid, Betruma Gadola, how do you get 10? I understand. Eser. Mayavirata. There's no such thing as Eser. Okay, sorry. We're talking about Trumat Maaser, okay? Trumat Maaser is 10 out of 100. So the Levi has to take off Truma from his Maaser. So you'll say, so then aren't we back with the same issue? No. Because we're going according to the Shita. of Abba Elazar ben Gomel. Abba Elazar ben Gomel Shita is the Tanya. Abba Elazar ben Gomel Omer. Since it says in the Torah, "V'nechshav lachem trumatchem kedargan min hagoren uchumleyam min hayakem." Trumatchem is betray trumot hakatuv medaber. We're talking about over here. This is a continuation of the parsha of Trumat Maaser, and it says, "V'nechshav lachem this Trumat Maaser." Like Truma Gedola. So in other words, this Trumat Maaser, which is 10, and is Vinech Shav, which we'll see is a very important word, because it means that you can use your mind for taking off Truma, and it will be the same as Truma Gedola. So that means we're talking about a comparison of two types of Truma. The Truma that was taken initially from the Goren, that's before I was ready to give it to the Levi. That's Truma Gedola. This Truma is going to be the same as that Truma. And we learn from here two things, that in the same way that one, meaning Truma Gedola, can be taken ba'omet, ube'ba'machshava, so k'shem sh'truma gedola, I am able to take approximate Truma, because I don't need to measure it, since the Torah didn't give me a shear. And I can take it, v'nechshav, I can take it with my mind. I don't need to actually separate it out and say, hereby is Truma. I can say, in my mind, the part on the northern section, that's the Truma Gedola part. And that's okay. So there, the same would be true by Trumat Maaser. It's nitelet ba'omed, and it's not nitelet b'machshava. Truma Gedola should be ba'ayin yafa. Av Trumat Maaser, ba'ayin yafa. And it doesn't matter whether you add. Therefore, when we're talking about over here, yes, we're talking about 10 out of 100. So you're saying, well, I mean, it can't be in both directions. Sure it can. Because I can do it ba'omed, I could give a little bit more, and it could be ba'ayin yafa. So no matter how you learn, whether it's l'kamot shayah or l'kamot shu akshav, it doesn't really matter. You'll give a little bit more. What's the big deal? We're not talking about ma'aser here, we're talking about trumat ma'aser here. So what? Umina, and I could still prove from you. Read Rabbi Elazar, it's exactly Nogei Arsugya. Omer Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi. We just had Abba Hayanotel Eser Grogrot Shebe Mikzoa Al Tishim Shebe Kalkala. Now, here we're going downhill. He says, he used to take 10 grogrot that were dried out for 90 fresh, fluffy figs. Now, I mean, Yamrit Bishleima, the Kabot Shein. So then, if you're going to tell me that the shiur is according to Kamot Shehen, Likamot Shehen, meaning Likamot Shayu. So I'm going to say, okay, these Eser grogrot were once nice and fat, and therefore I'm doing okay. I'm taking out 10 out of 100. But in this case, you're going down. If you tell me Kamot Shehen now, how can you take off from these little tiny crushed figs on these big fluffy fresh figs? It'll be Botzer Lahu. Yatar Rav Dibi Omar Rabbi Elazar. That's a very strange Gemara. Grogrot are unique. Shiny grogrot. Why are grogrot unique? Because grogrot, when you put them back and boil them up in water, they go back to what they were. So shiny grogrot, then it becomes the equivalent of kamoshe nachshav. Now, isn't that true of every dehydration? I understand. I mean, we've been talking about that all along. That was the question of whether we consider it to be nitche from Yisurim. What do you mean shiny grogrot? But that was our question. Do we say that dehydrated things are the same as rehydrated things, the same as they were before? And now you're answering, well, since you can rehydrate them. So clearly, there's a lot of discussion in the Achronim about what this would mean. The way some put it is, normally when you rehydrate something, what you have is not the original fruit. You have the dried fruit together with water that...
Reconstituted.
Fine. That type of thing.
What's different, though? It's not really...
Reconstituted isn't used for rehydrated. It's used for juices and so on. Yeah. Where it really isn't reconstituted. It isn't what it was. It doesn't taste the way it tasted. And therefore, it's kilu panim chadashot ba'olaka. You're really dealing with the water that's identifiable separately. Masha'im came when it comes to gorgorot. Now, gentlemen, I haven't tried this myself, but I'm willing to take the Gemara's word for it. That when it comes to te'enim, there is a unique circumstance in which a te'ena, and you'll notice that the te'ena is uniquely related to the drying process. It's called kayet. I mean, that's the meaning of the te'ena, is that it defines the kayet. We call the kayet Hashem, the harvest of the te'enim. Somehow or other, the water content of a te'ena is literally reconstitutable to kamot chain. Richie has tried.
I haven't tried it. But
you don't believe it.
I like fresh figs, and I can't believe.
You like fresh figs.
I like fresh
figs. All right, we're going to have to try this. But don't forget, you can never compare fresh Israeli figs to reconstituted Turkish.
Turkish figs.
Yeah, that's the problem. A relative difference. Yeah, that doesn't have an exact group. Yes, Richie, we'll have to do a control experiment. You're going to have to drink a lot of prune juice.
I'm at that stage now, yeah.
A lot of raisin wine.
Prune juice for breakfast, yes.
Rabbi Meir Omer, Haseor, that shouldn't say Haseor, Seor Bodele Mitzvahan, Umechamsa. And then Rabbi Yehuda said, no, you bring it from your home. The Tanit Rav Yehuda said, then you're going to have a problem with chasira or yitira. What do you mean, chasira or yitira? Omer Chista, well, it depends. Isata sor avas, so then turns out you've got too much midati saron. If the sor is raka, so then you've got too little. So then chasira, because of the water. Yeah, but who cares? Look, it's clear that it had to go according to Lekamot Shayoi. Anyway, come on, Azad, it's not Tapuach Shirisko. It could be that it's considered to be chometz in terms of chometz nuksha, and therefore would be awesome. Rabbi Yitzchak Ravidimi says, why? The Milchachote, you put in a little bit of water, and then it's easy to do the comments, and it's perfectly kosher. Lema baka miflege marasava kamot shein misharin, umarasava kamot shayu misharin, lo. Kule yama kamot shein misharina. Ubaka miflege marasavar, when it says chareva, contextually it only means chareva mishemen. Umarasavar chareva means even from water, literally, mikoldavar dry. Tnanatam, basar ego shen nitpach, ubasar zekina shen nitbaech, mishtarin lekamot shein. Rav, Reb Yitzchak, Reb Yochanan Amre, mishtarin kemot shein now. Shmuel, Reb Shimon, Reb Shimon, Reb Shlokshman, mishtarin lekamot shein, or lekamot shayu. Meitve, psara ego, shelo haya bo kishur, vetafach viamara kishur, tahor leshavar, vetamemi kanalaba. That's on the Mirabona. Really now? So Yochim a Sefer, v'chein b'pigo, v'chein b'notar. I mean, if you're going to tell me b'shlama d'yoraita, ha'inudik b'pigo v'notar, it's nogeh chiv koret, or chiv chatat. But if you're going to tell me it's a Mirabona, well, what's pigo v'notar have to do with it? Pigo v'notar Mirabona mi'ika? Ein lochem b'tumat pigo, v'chein b'tumat notar. I need to mention that separately, you see, because Sakatat Hamina, hold the tumat piguv the tumat notar in their basis or only drabbanan. So maybe kulei high b'rabbanan lo over drabbanan to be makpid even on a shear that is only now swollen. Kamashmala, tashma, basar zikena shayavo kishiur, and then it was tzomak lepachot mikishiur. So then it's tamei l'shavra v'tar mikana la'aba. Amar Rava, well, of course, that's because it once had the shear. Look, kol ha'echad mikor ha'aviv, you see. And hashta ledbe. So nobody, everybody agrees, ledbe. Kol ha'echad mikor lo ha'aviv, v'hashta ha'aviv, nobody believes you can use water to make a diorita. Everybody's agreed that's tame, but it's tame min rabona. Ki plige, ki gon sha'ayabo, ki shiur v'tzamak, v'chazar v'tafach. That's the issue. Mar savar yesh dicho b'yisura, umbar savar in dicho b'yisura. Nobody can hold yesh dicho b'yisura. It's a fresh mishnah. V'tznan. You start off with a kibetza ocha. You leave it in the sun. V'nidmat, or kezayit min ha'met, or kezayit min ha'vela, or nadash min ha'sheretz, or l'gabi yisura yachila, kezayit pigo, kezayit notar, kezayit chelet. If there's no shir, so then they become tahorin, or they lose their iser, ein chayavin lo mishum, pigo notar v'chelet. Now, suppose you leave them in the rain, and then they're tofchu. Now the din is to me, and now the din is your chayav, obviously the oraita. We should pick on the other. So how could you possibly say, tiyufta laman yomer, yesh dichoy b'yisur and tiyufta. Toshba, tormim te'inim ala grogrod b'minyan. So now, yabat b'shalam ala kamotche ayu. So then, shapir. But if you're going to tell me, you'll look at the way it is now, how can you use wet, fresh te'inim, which are going to be double the volume of the grogrot? You're going to be marbe mamasrot. V'tanya marbe mamasrot. It may be that his perot are metukin, but his masrot are mekulkalin. No, and you hold, what do you hold? Look about shein misharin. So how do you understand the sefer? That grogrot ala teinim, you have to analyze the volume. And if the din is that it's according to what you're suggesting, that it's likamot shayu, this doesn't make sense either. Because if you're going to talk about shayin now, then okay, then shapir. We've got volume matched to volume. But yeah, but likamot shayin, that is marba b'masrot, they used to have a tremendous amount of volume. So look, there's no way to read this in terms of maser. It's clear that this whole brayta is discussing something where we don't care if we're being marba. It's got to be talking about truma gedola askinan. So therefore, the reisha would be ba'ayin yafa, the sefer could be ba'ayin yafa, whatever. But then how do you read the very last part? Ema sefer, omer abalos b'biosi, aba yanotel eser grogrot shebe miksoa, al tish'im shebe kalkala, which means that you've got a measurement of 10 to 90. That doesn't work for truma in any circumstances. Ibe truma gedola, what are we talking about 10 for? Eser maya vidite. Okay, it's not talking about Truma Gedola, but it's not talking about Meiser either. It's talking about Trumat Maaser, and it's going in the sheet of Rabbi Elizabeth Gomel, who says to treat Trumat Maaser not like Maaser, but like Truma Gedola in terms of being Marba. And therefore, he dashes Pasuk, V'nechshav lachem, your Trumat Maaser, ki Truma min hagorin, ki dogon min hagorin, which means that we're comparing now shtei trumot akatuv v'daber, truma gedola min hagorin, to trumatchem from the maaser. And therefore it's telling me, kishem, she truma gedola nitelet ba'omed, ubebachshava, so too is truma maaser nitelet ba'omed ubebachshava. And just like truma gedola could be a shear of ayin yafa. You can take off ayin yafa, with truman maaser ayin yafa. And therefore, the two cases, I don't care if you look at likamo chain or kimo chain, go according to the volume, you go according to the numbers, whatever. So give a little bit more. Who cares? Says, well, but keep reading. Ubina. Continue on with the same. Omer blows Rabbi Yossi. Aba yanotel eser grogrot shem mimiksoa al tishim shebekalkala. I mean, you can't say it doesn't matter. It's bayin yafa. If you're going to tell me likimocha, you find in a chapter. So they used to have the volume. But if you're telling me, look at the way it is now, kamocha hain, hey, then it's butzalo. There's no way that that's going to be good. Kiyotar of Dimi, Amber, Beleza, well, grogrot anyway, special case. This case, you can't bring it as right to anything. Because shiny grogrot, ho yuviyacholashokan, ulahaziran, likamot chain. So it's a unique case.